If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. With an eclectic collection of trivia, water cooler knowledge, news stories, and motivational thoughts, this is the Voice Overwork Podcast brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. I'm your host, Russell Newton. Thanks for listening today and hope you're doing well. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at brain blunders. Uncover everyday illusions and fallacies. Defeat your flawed thinking habits and think smarter or just less stupidly. Written by Peter Hollins. Narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1. Misadventures of the Human Brain. When I was a teenager, I remember going with my parents to buy a new car. The car certainly wasn't for me, no matter how much I begged and pleaded with the might of my newly minted driver's license. The car was for my mother. She'd gotten into a minor accident, which our insurance company had deemed major enough to cover the cost of a new car. Many years later, it's still one of the few positive interactions I would ever have with insurance companies. I distinctly remember this day because I remember the salesperson that we dealt with, or rather tolerated. If you could create an untrustworthy salesperson in a lab, you'd come up with this man. If you looked up the word sleazy in the dictionary, his picture would be next to it. He was the stereotype of a slimy salesman who would pat your back and keep repeating your name in an annoying fashion. His palms were sweaty and he shook your hand for far too long. It was like he had read all the advice of what not to do in sales and taken it as a challenge. Things moved quickly because my parents were in a buying mood and it showed plainly on their faces. They were busy people and just wanted to get in, get the car, and get out. This type of sentiment is like blood in the water for salespeople who want motivated customers that actually spend money. We took a quick test drive and into the office we went to talk about exactly what model was desired and what the end price would be. I noted that the salesman didn't bring up the price until as late in the process as possible. Every time my father tried to clarify, he would say something like, "Of course, we'll get to that right after this, I promise. Just a couple more things to hammer out." He was doing this to draw my parents deeper into the process so as to gain their emotional investment in the car. When he finally presented the price with all the amenities my parents wanted, power windows, air conditioning, a CD player, heated seats, he presented a figure. Chapter 2. What free will? No people prefer to think of themselves as followers. We all like to imagine that we have free will and are actively making our decisions instead of the other way around. In fact, we view followers with a negative slant. These are the people who are easily influenced by others and can even be manipulated into doing things they're either unaware of or uninterested in. Whatever the case, followers are not people that are seen in an attractive light. On the other hand, there are leaders. Leaders are what we typically want to aspire to, and for good reason. They have power and independence. Leaders blaze the trail and set the path instead of the other way around. They are strong-minded and are driven by a set of morals and convictions. Above all else, they do what they want out of their own free will, not because someone has told them to do it. If you want to compliment someone in a work setting, you would call them a leader, and if you want to insult someone, you would call them a follower. We all want to be leaders on some level because we want to feel that we're in charge of our destinies, but the truth of how we all act is a bit uglier. We really just can't help but subconsciously follow the people around us, whether we want to or not. It influences a substantial part of what we want and the way we think, despite our best attempts to be an individual thinker. Of course, the brain contributes with its tendency to be lazy. Here's a simple and relatable example. If you walk into your new job and you find everyone wearing magenta shirts, you're probably going to buy a magenta shirt as soon as you can, despite the fact that there's no dress code and no one has ever mentioned anything about magenta shirts. Something in your mind will tell you that you should be conforming to the people around you, even though there are no rules about it and the people you've asked haven't mentioned it either. You could argue that your free will directs you to dress like the others. Chapter 3. Chasing Ghosts. If you were to ask 100 people if they believe in ghosts, how many do you think would say yes? It might depend on the age range or geographic location, but overall, it likely wouldn't be a majority. When faced with such a direct proposition, you might find only a low percentage is willing to admit it. But just because people will laugh at ghosts and monsters under the bed doesn't mean they don't possess different, but ultimately extremely similar types of magical thinking and supernatural beliefs, all of which can generally be explained or labeled as magic. For instance, do you want your favorite sports team to win? You might just feel better if you wear the same pair of socks you wore the last time they won. Magical thinking, such as superstitions, creeps into our lives in small, almost imperceptible ways that make it second nature for us to believe in. From there, they only grow in ways that can end up skewing reality. Essentially, the supernatural has become a catch-all umbrella term for things that lack a conventional explanation. There may not always be a clear explanation, but attributing what is not immediately explainable turns out to be a tendency of the human brain to jump to conclusions and make sense out of a situation, even if the explanation must be fabricated. We fabricate explanations because of an overwhelming desire to feel in control. If we can explain something, then we can ostensibly affect its outcome. This is quite a comforting feeling, as opposed to feeling that you're helpless to the forces around you. When we feel we have control, we gain a sense of empowerment and agency around our lives. If we believe what we do makes a difference, then we will do more. For example, the superstitions surrounding sports teams. You may logically know that you aren't making a real difference, but it still feels better and more comfortable if you engage in those acts. By avoiding... Chapter 4. Faulty Memories. Although we don't like to admit it, sometimes our memories are flat out wrong. For instance, suppose you're in a fight with your significant other about whose turn it is to wash the dishes. You feel that your memory is a steel trap and you did the dishes for the past week, so obviously it's their turn. Yet they swear the same thing. Whose memory is inaccurate, and how can you even begin to determine that? Obviously, one party's memory is incorrect, or both of them are. And yet there is such confidence that each person's representation of the past is true and unflawed. What's happening when a small conflict like this occurs? Is someone trying to maliciously lie or bend reality to suit their own needs? What about when this happens with larger consequences, such as with testimony in a lawsuit? It wouldn't be inaccurate to say that our existences are the sum of our memories, and yet they can be so fragile, fickle, and outright inaccurate. In most cases, this is due to a malfunctioning of our memory systems. What else might be affected by these errors besides the dishes? A lot. You'd be right to question some of the bigger events of your life and if they happened the way you think they did. Our memories are an unreliable narrator at best, and even if they remember the concrete black and white events, they will inevitably be altered by our individual perspectives and biases. For instance, you may feel that you've done the dishes for 10 days in a row, but in actuality, you only feel that way because there is a long history of squabbling over household chores. Our memory is its own editor and director of photography and will create its own version of reality. It gets us into trouble, causes misunderstandings, and makes us doubt ourselves. It works for us, and this is a distinctly different function than being accurate. It's beneficial to first take a quick look at this. Chapter 5. Sold. How often have you gone to the grocery store and come home with a bunch of items you hadn't planned on buying and hadn't even wanted? You went with the intention of simply buying black pepper for your dinner, but something about the advertisements in the store made it impossible for you to abstain. Once you empty your shopping bags at home, you instantly regret your purchases because you don't actually have a use for 5 pounds of broccoli and 2 jars of peanut butter. You're even slightly allergic to peanuts. Yet somehow you picked them up, they made it into your shopping cart, and you didn't object when the cashier rang them up. When was the last time you bought something you won't use and will never use just because it seemed like a good idea at the store? You may have been seduced by the big limited time discount sign or the endorsement of thousands of dentists. Whatever the case, these products additionally promise to enrich your life and solve all your problems. Shockingly, those things didn't happen, but it's okay. There will be a product next week that just might do the same thing. One of the most glaring examples of how our brains malfunction on a daily and casual basis is in regards to how and why we spend our money. This is all about the psychology of buying and being sold. Left to ourselves, our buying tendencies might actually be smart and beneficial in some cases, but actually, this is something that's being constantly done to us to accentuate those tendencies and fool us into questionable decisions. It's been happening for decades and has only gotten more sophisticated in the age of technology. The reality is that clever advertisers have come up with a plethora of ways to part us from our hard-earned cash. In a way, they are the masters of creating poor judgment and making you commit thinking errors. You might think you know some of the obvious ones, such as seeing... Chapter 6. Flawed Thinking. The mistakes that our brains make are too numerous to count. You might think that this book has presented a thorough view so far. It has, and it hasn't. It has shined a light on a few key areas where our brains create and operate in a world that does not resemble reality, but there are far more that haven't even been mentioned. It's almost a wonder that we can all agree on the general premises of our world, given that there's so much variance in how we can experience and interpret things. From a lack of free will, to chasing superstitions and ghosts, and to a memory that malfunctions more often than not, we're clearly not set up for success, if our definition of success involves accuracy and perspective. Remember, we're typically operating in the ways that our brains are accustomed to from 10,000 BC, when there were very different concerns. Sometimes our brains are tricking us through a vestigial evolutionary tendency. Other times this is done to us intentionally, such as with the car salesman my parents encountered in the first chapter. But sometimes we just don't use critical thinking skills and fall prey to tricks and having the wool pulled over our eyes. We think stupidly most days, but most of the time it doesn't come back to bite us in the butt. Flawed thinking can sometimes be as simple as having thinking that is, well, flawed. It's either logically, consequences don't follow the premises, or perceptively, four pennies is not the same as a nickel, unsound. To continue with the analogy, our flawed thinking can result from paying for coffee in cash and receiving your change in pennies and nickels. It seems like you've probably received the correct amount, but upon closer inspection, you might be one penny too few or too many. Still, upon first glance, you've gotten all your money back, and you can't spend the time to inspect all. This has been Brain Blunders. Uncover everyday illusions and fallacies, defeat your flawed thinking habits, and think smarter, or just less stupidly. Written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2019 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins. To learn more about today's author or book, please visit Amazon.com or Audible.com. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, news stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.